Easter was about a month ago, and I remember reflecting several times on the earthquake of the resurrection, how jarring it is to have somebody come back from the dead, and what an adjustment it is. Now, that was a month ago, and you know, we're in the Easter season, we know we're focusing on the risen life, and that newness has kind of settled into us. But it came back to my mind today because the first reading yesterday and today, and I think again tomorrow, takes us to Antioch in Pisidia, which is somewhere in southern Turkey. I don't know how far it is from that, where those devastating earthquakes were a couple of months ago, but that's what made me think of it. And that Pisidia, where Paul is preaching in a synagogue, is in an area where there's earthquakes. And what Paul is proclaiming to the Jews there is a kind of earthquake. In fact, the whole gospel has this earthquake quality to it because it's always a proclamation of something new and unsettling, and that's Jesus Christ. So if you are following the daily liturgy, you know, yesterday Paul stood up in the synagogue. It's a place where the Jews gather for prayer, and he starts talking about what the Jews have received over the centuries, the message of the prophets, the commandments, and they all agree on this. He builds up to, in yesterday's reading, up to John the Baptist, and that's where they cut it off. So today we pick up where we were cut off yesterday, and he gets to Jesus. Now, this is always the challenge for the Christian preacher. It's one thing to say something general about God. Most people believe in some kind of a God. But when you get to Jesus, he's a very particular historical figure. Just think of this when we pray the creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Well, a lot of people believe that. And I mean, it's still faith, but it's not so earth-shaking to think that there might be some supreme being. But then, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. All these very specific historical details. Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. It's not at all like God. It's very human, very limited, very specific. And then he rose from the dead. So, and this is it. This is the uniqueness of Christianity. A lot of religions, all religions believe in God, but Christianity proclaims that this person, born of the Virgin Mary, crucified under Pontius Pilate, this person is God. And that's an earthquake to think that this guy who was buried in the tomb and came out on the third day is God. But this is what Paul is proclaiming in the synagogue. It's not like any of the things that came before. There's prophets, and there's messages, and there's moral guidance, and there's commandments. Even John the Baptist fits into the category, generally, of prophets. But Jesus explodes the category. Now, in the gospel, here we are at the Last Supper, and Jesus himself is revealing who he is. And there's no way to do it without an earthquake. So here he says, you know this gospel, it's a famous one. But here he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. You see the shift? You have faith in God. Okay. A lot of people have faith in God. Have faith also in me. He puts himself on the God category. It's like when he used in yesterday's reading the term I am. No one can say I am. That's God's name. But Jesus uses it for himself. That's God's name. He's claiming God's name. He's identifying himself as God. He goes on to talk about preparing the way and the Father's house, and this is why we don't have to be troubled, because Jesus is here for us and is preparing the way for us and is preparing a place for us. And then Thomas pipes up and says, well, Master, we don't know where you are going. how can we know the way? Thomas has in mind what we usually have in mind, way as a guide, a map, instructions, commandments, moral guidance, good advice, common sense, or whatever, is a way. And then Jesus, again, exploding our idea of what way means, he says, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's pointing to himself in a way that no one could ever do. How could he claim I am the way? But he can claim it because it's true. He's something, he's someone that we have not seen before. He's unique. He is the way sent by the Father as the Son of the Father to show us the way to the Father, to be the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I knew that today is the anniversary of Mona Lulu, and so I was thinking a little bit about marriage. We had some marriage anniversaries the other day, too. And I think we might be able to understand this idea of Jesus saying, I am the way, if we reflect a little bit on marriage, or on love relationships in general, but marriage is the best example. Because when we want to enter into a project with someone, to start a business, say, or do a public work, well, we determine all the parameters. We make a contract. This is how much we're going to put into it. Here's the investment. Here's the time frame. And, you know, the contracts have all the details. And so we agree to that project, or we agree to that business. But love is not like that. Love doesn't have everything worked out ahead of time. And marriage doesn't have everything worked out. When the man proposes to his girlfriend, he doesn't say, will you sign up for my project? Or will you marry my idea of how life is going to be? He says, will you marry me? Will you marry me? He puts himself on the line there, and then the woman either says yes or no. Now, I don't know if that's how marriage is decided anymore. That's traditional, tradition that the man proposes to the woman. But anyway, the idea is the same. Both of them are saying to each other, will you marry me? Will you accept me, person? Are you going to put all your eggs in this basket? That's what Jesus is doing. He's not giving us a program, a project. He's giving us himself. And he's saying, I am the way. And if you want to receive what God is giving, receive me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the whole package. And Thomas is saying, well, we don't know all the details. And Jesus is saying, you don't get, that's not how love works. You don't get all the details. You don't get a detailed map. You get me. That's why I say it's like marriage. And maybe it's not a perfect example because marriage has lots of ups and downs, and sometimes people they think they didn't get what they bargained for. but the idea of a love relationship does reveal to us what Jesus is talking about. The gift of a whole person is what Jesus is talking about. The difference between marriage and what Jesus is talking about is that in marriage we're talking about human gifts, and Jesus is talking about divine gift. Yes, he's fully human, but he's also fully divine. So when he says, I am the way, he's talking about a perfect way, an unlimited way, a way that we can trust in. That's why he can say to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me, because he's saying, have faith in God. I am the divine way. Well, we'll be reflecting on this more throughout Easter, but I think it's good to let this earthquake of the particular revelation, Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, to let that sink in. Keep following that way. This is what makes our religion unique. It's what makes Christianity unique. Jesus himself. A lot of religions have lots of the same teachings. forbidding lying and stealing and, you know, promoting respect for one another and brotherhood and upholding good moral principles, yes. But Jesus is himself the way, and he gives us himself as the fullness of life. And he's giving himself to us today. That's what we celebrate in Easter.